All right, Larry, you're next up with a briefing on tarpon management, item 11.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, for the record, I'm Larry McKinney, Director of Coastal Fisheries. I really had we've done a number of briefings today and action on, but I really had fun doing this one and putting this thing together, and Chairman, I appreciate the opportunity to do it after discussions about these a little bit. Tarpon are one of those, I guess you call them a charismatic megafauna. They're just they're a special fish. I think that one of my sons had the opportunity to fish in a lot of places, and whenever we talk about fish, the one fish story he remembers is accidentally hooking into a little 3-foot tarpon back in Aransas Bay for about 2 minutes before two jumps in 2 minutes it was gone. But whenever he talks about fish, he remembers that one, and it's just that way with tarpon. They are a special fish, and so the opportunity to bring together some information on this species and what we're doing with it in Texas was neat. We don't often have the time to kind of step back from the forest and then from the trees and look at the forest. That's what I tried to do with you a little bit here today. First of all, taking a look at distribution, they are primarily found in the Gulf and the Caribbean, although they sneak up the coast of North America and down South America. And one little group has even found its way over to Africa and done well there. And another little group has snuck down through the Panama Canal, and they're on the Pacific there as well. But primarily they're focused in our area. In the Gulf, and that's why, of course, we're so much interested in them. A little bit on life history. They are very long-lived species. They can live from 50 to 78 years old. They come to reproduction late in life, about 10 years, and that's one of the reasons why they're so vulnerable to exploitation. Once you take them, they're an issue there. Commissioner Ramos, you asked me a question yesterday, so I went and looked up some more information for you. That's okay. It was good. I pulled out a study by Crabtree, which is one of the definitive ones. He looked at over 1,400 tarpon that were caught recreationally and put out some general information. And so for your answering your question yesterday, the average length of those 1,400 for females was 5 feet, and for males it was 4 feet. And then he looked at age. He said the oldest female that they found in that study was 55 years old. It was 6.7 feet long. And the oldest male was 43 at 5.6 feet. So that kind of gives you that little direction. But now there's still a lot of information we don't know about these fish. For example, we really don't know where they spawn. We have some ideas. We know generally where they are, but we really don't know as well as we need to for management purposes. Life history is complex. Their larvae and juveniles go through all kinds of little strange stages, and again, that makes it even more difficult to trap and trying to find out where they are. The juveniles and subadults are estuary independent, and basically, when you want to find them, you go and find the nastiest, rankest, dirtiest water you can find with no oxygen in it, and that's where they'll be, right there. And that's one of their advantages. That's why they can take advantage of it, so you'll find them there. And so they're back in those kinds of situations. They are not particularly cold tolerant. They are a warm water species, you might see, because they're below 57 degrees, that can certainly be lethal. Or, well, what about tarpon in Texas? What have we found? Well, here's a summary of our catch rates for tarpon in all of our gill nets from 76 through current times. And you can see there's a sort of a cycle looking in there, about a 10-year cycle, but we can't really correlate that with anything in particular. Maybe one day we will, but so it appears there, but we don't know why. But that's the rate at which we have caught tarpon over the years. As you might expect, most of our catches of tarpon in gill nets have been in the lower coasts, where the winter temperatures are generally warmer. And of course, one thing that's been happening over the last, since 30 years of our record, is that the winter lows have been steadily rising, warmer and warmer. That's why we're seeing snook and mangrove snapper and more tarpon along the coast. So it's very favorable for them as well. Size-wise, this gives you an idea of what we're finding. We don't in those gill nets, we see they're pretty consistent over the years. Subadults, not sexually mature, we get back in the day, is what we typically find. Of course, the history of tarpon, or tarpon in Texas, it's a great history. Early history from the 30s, particularly to the 50s, with Port Aransas and the tarpon inn, President Roosevelt. We've all heard those stories. People like Dan Farley and Barney's bait houses is all there anyway. We had a heck of a tarpon fishery, the tarpon capital of the world, particularly until, of course, it took a nosedive in the 50s and disappeared and went somewhere else. One of the things that that I've enjoyed and I'd like to share with you sometime. Thanks to Steve Lightfoot, and I got a copy of an unpublished manuscript by Hart Silva called The Glory of the Silver King. And Hart was a great writer. He made me know him from Outdoor Life and all that many years ago. And it is really one of the best stories of coastal fishing in Texas that I've ever read. Now, he focuses on tarpon and up and down Texas and Mexico, but it's just a fascinating read, and someday I want to see if we can get that published in all the parts. It's marvelous. It's a great story. But tarpon have been coming back in Texas, and it didn't take me any great effort to go out into the internet and take a look at where people are catching tarpon in Texas on the upper coast, of course. Oops, didn't click for me. I'm sorry. Here we go. There is a fairly steady a guide and fishery for tarpon. It's small, but it's there, and people who know where they are. A lot of times, we can't find out about it. I know that some folks in the upper middle coast who know where some of the smaller mid-sized tarpon are, they're in the estuary. They don't tell anybody where they are because everybody will go find them. But they're there and they catch them. And there are those in the upper and the mid coast, of course. Plenty of fish there. Yeah, that one there, that fly rod. So can you imagine catching a 200-pound on a fly rod? That would be a hoot if you could do that. And of course, down in the lower coast, we see them there as well. I guess it's a good thing that we, another reason for the briefing, as we talked about yesterday, we do have a new state record for tarpon. As I said, it was taken out of Galveston off of fishing gear. The fellow was fishing for bull reds with dead menhaden. Now, he knew what he was doing. He did fish with a guy. I don't think anyone who just hooked onto a tarpon like this and never had a tarpon would know it'd be gone before you know it, but he didn't know what he was doing and landed the fish there. So I want to finish up a little bit talking about what we're doing as a department in our areas of research. Of course, we're focused in four areas: genetics, the culture, life history, and migration and movement. And one of the people I want to recognize is Yvonne Blandon. Yvonne is here. Stand up, Yvonne. Don't hide back there. Yvonne is a geneticist, and she works with us. We really take advantage of her talent. She's worked wonderfully with us in Mexico and in the international situation, bringing together folks there, and so we really appreciate that. She's done a lot of basic work on the genetics department as far as what we do know. I want to include some of that in this briefing as well. Oops, there was one thing. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about our tarpon populations and where they come from and where they go. We think we know where the spawning grounds are. I mean, we think they're here. There's two groups, two populations, if you will. Our population, our Texas tarpon, are connected in, and we'll show more data in just a moment, are connected in with Mexico. They kind of move back and forth there. There is a population that moves from Florida up into Louisiana, that area there, and then there's one that even goes up the coast. There is some genetic exchange between the two populations. They're not isolated. They're there, but they typically, we think they operate like this. One of the things we want to know is to confirm that and get more information on the spawning grounds and so forth. And so what we've been working with a number of folks is a tagging system. These cat tags, they're pretty interesting. And that these particular tags are, they're under inserted. They stay with that fish at a certain time interval, a few months. They pop off, float to the surface, and transmit their data to a satellite and collect them that way. So it's a clever deal. Can you imagine putting the tags on the tarpon? But we have been successful in this year. About, I think, some 20 pat tags have been put in. This gives you an idea of where they were here on Texas and Mexico and Florida. This has been led by Jerry Alt at the University of Miami. He's been doing great work there. And so here's a little bit of an idea of where his tags, once they tag, where they go. It gives you some ideas there. That one fish, those fish there, there's a group of them that were tagged in Mexico. They all headed up to the Texas coast. Group out of Florida did just where they headed over to Louisiana, and one of the fish they tagged there went back to Florida, so just kind of demonstrating that relationship. We had one fish. Now, that fish that moved around the Mississippi and Texas, that could have been part of the Texas population or not. Although there were some stories after Katrina and Rita of those situations where there was a big group of big tarpon that were felt they were came over to Texas with that, and we got a little bit of genetic exchange there that may well have happened. And then there's a group that goes up and down that coast there. Now, we don't only get information on movement. Those tags give us information on depth that the fish swim at, temperature that it prefers. There's a lot of information that comes out of that that is very, very, very useful. The question then comes up as to what do we need to do and where do we need to go? And basically, I kind of look at things in groups of threes as far as where we need to go with tarpon for tomorrow. One, we do still have some basic life history research to be done. We're talking about trying to find spawning grounds, identify those, genetics, growth, development. There's a whole range of those types of things. We still need a lot of information there, and so there's certainly some opportunities for us. Basic culture techniques. Can we rear these in hatcheries? You know, we've had a group of tarpon swimming round and round in Sea Center for about 7 years now in a tank and hadn't been able to get them to do anything, but I think it's probably because the facilities aren't where we need them. We just don't have the funds to really take it and go where the guys have some ideas. We're going to try to raise some funds to do that, but someday we want to, I think those tarpon are tired of swimming around the circle. They want to do something, so we'd like to get in a position so that they could. And then in the third area, certainly not least, is international collaborative conservation management, how we can work with private NGOs and international groups and others. And I want to focus on that and talk about that a little bit, because that's a key for us. And today we've been talking about partnerships. Well, it's appropriate because that's really what it's going to take for us here. And one of the individuals that is Paul Swansea. Paul is here. Paul and I appreciate him being here, and he has really been the glue that's kind of held us together in the state of Texas. Every time someone mentions tarpon, he's there, or he's trying to get people together and do something, and he put a lot of this work together with the Tarpon Tomorrow program and that type of thing. And I just mentioned an email, for example, that we're going to give this briefing, and this thing I know he says, I'm going to come up there and be there. So we really appreciate him, and he brings a lot of folks together, and that's what it's going to take to do it. Dr. Jerry Alt out of the University of Miami, of course, has been a key in leading that as well. The main point for me, though, is that we've made some progress in basic research, but if we're going to do something conservation-wise, we're going to have to really move forward. We haven't gone where we need to go, and that's, of course, what Paul and others are trying to move us that next step. And in doing that, for us in Texas, the key is going to be in Mexico. I mean, that's where those fish are, and that's where they're being exploited and where a lot of the problems are occurring. And we're focusing down there. We need to focus there with recreational anglers and make sure that we move that tarpon into that same group as the marlin and the other billfish that they recognize and can exploit that value as a recreational resource, not a meat resource. And that's beginning to happen. And thanks to the work of Tarpon Tomorrow and Tarpon and Homefish Unlimited and all of us trying to work together. But that, if we're going to be successful here in Texas, we got to be successful down there. That's just absolutely, absolutely key. Now, we've gotten to the point where tarpon are protected by law in Mexico, but they are still a legal bycatch of the shark and the tuna industry. They can still bring them in, and when they bring them in as a bycatch, they can market them. And here's an example of what I'm talking about. So there's a lot of work to be done down there. But there's an exciting opportunity. I think we're right on the bubble here with tarpon. The situation with tarpon here in Texas is ripe for us to move forward on here. There's groups with Paul and others that are working that if we can just get everyone together, we can move it up that next notch where it really needs to be. So it's an exciting opportunity. With that, Mr. Chairman and members, I'll conclude my brief.
Thanks, Larry. You know, this is an area of particular interest to me. And as I mentioned to you, of interest to the Heart Research Institute, Gulf of Mexico Studies. We have our membership is from Mexico, the United States, and Cuba. And we had the Gulf Summit this last year. Recreational fishing was on the agenda. Paul, I would invite you to be involved in our summit, which will be in Tamaulipas, in Tampico, next March. And I serve on that board. I'll be glad to make sure that you all are involved in that, because that's the only way we can conserve this resource is to work with Mexico.
Yes,
share the same tarpon. So.
And I appreciate you mentioning the Heart Institute, because it can play, and that summit can play a real key role, and that's an excellent idea. Thanks.
Well, Paul, will you get with this gentleman, and he'll make sure that West Tunnel and all the guys that are organizing the summit have you included?
Yeah, I'm glad to work with a bunch of
good.
Speaker at the Americas 2 years ago, the keynote speaker at the Heart Institute. One of our lead partners. I'll be there. I'll get that in the Western Institute.
Well, we're just this, and over the next 2 weeks, we'll be setting up the tracks of what issues will be there. So clearly, recreational tarpon fishery should be one of the issues that is assigned to a panel of Mexican and U.S. officials to discuss how we get something done. Great, thanks.